I'm going to try and get through this quickly for you. So we are excited to start a new series today called Who's Asking? And so we're going to ask questions like, does a fish know that he's wet? No, I'm joking, okay. So we're excited to start a new series, but today, pray for Bridget and I, and Louise is going on vacation and as well, and she's going to some boring place called Bali. I know. Bridget and I, part of our apostolic mandate, we've been invited to South Africa to go minister into some churches there. And then while we were there, we just thought it might be a good idea to take a week's vacation and see my sister I haven't seen for a number of years. So pray for us while we're away, and we'll be back, and the pastoral team will continue to preach through this series. And so there we go. So I want to talk this morning about there is a sickness that pervades Christians. It kills more Christians than diseases. You know, other diseases that kill us are natural ones, cancer and HIV/AIDS and cholera, etc., etc. Those are diagnosed, and sometimes we get the medication and we get prolonged life. But this disease kills us. It's in a disease that affects many Christ followers. Its problem is that it eats us from the inside out. And it often goes undiagnosed. It robs and steals, it emaciates, it incapacitates, it drowns, it strangles, it suffocates, it paralyzes. And worst of all, most times we don't even know we got it. And I want to preach this morning on healing the guilt. Guilt. A thing that we carry around with. I want to show you from Scripture today that as Christ followers, as Christians, is not our mandate. That is not our calling. And so we want to walk through this thing, and how do I deal with guilt could be another title for it, but I want to talk about healing the guilt that we carry. It's subtle. We have been sold the lie that it is a motivator to us. It says, if I do good, and I'm okay, but if I do bad, then I feel guilty, and when I'm motivated by my guilt, then I will do good again. And then I can make the correction, and I want to tell you this morning, that's a lie from the pit of hell. It's not the way we receive Christ. It's not the way we relate to the Father. And you will only be able to do this for a long time till you succumb to this, because that is why we have so many fickle, unfaithful members in the body of Christ. And the pastor said that with a smile. Yeah. Because we think that's what Christianity is all about. But for grace. Now when we preach grace, and people go, well, we're not under law, we're under grace, so therefore I can do what I like. No, that's another lie. Because the minute, and I've said this before, the minute we say, well, we're not under law, I'm under grace, if you use that as your opening argument with me, then I know you don't know what you're talking about. And he said it with another smile. The reason is that when we understand grace, grace teaches us to say no to sin. Grace teaches us to live for Him. And all the things that Kevin exhorted us this morning through our songs that we sang, through the time when we were just inanimate with Jesus and we're just looking to Him and taking Holy Spirit in. Because we need to be motivated by grace and not by guilt. We understand grace, we will be the most powerful, we will be the most free, the most forceful gospel bringers, the purveyors of seed, the distributors of the gospel of the seed of grace. We will live holy and we will live healthy lives. And that's why this morning when we sung this song about being holy, I was just so, oh man, we need to imbibe this more. And then we go, no, I'm guilty, so therefore I'm not holy. Let me tell you, you are holy. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, you are holy. I don't know, for some of you that's like, yeah, because holy is such a thing to attain. But you don't attain anything. We do not attain anything. We must remove ourselves from the religious traps into the grooves of grace that will propel us forward. The gospel in its true, raw, unashamed version is good, good, great news. And unfortunately, some people we have been guilted into heaven. Let me just say that again. Some people have been guilted into heaven because they've been heard the story of turn or burn, you're going to hell. And so what do? By the motivation of guilt, we say, okay, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Not because I love Jesus. Not because what I understand of the work of the cross. Not because I understand what he did on the cross. Not because I understand the power of the blood of Jesus and his broken body upon the cross and what he did and the finished work of the cross. Because I want to escape hell. That is a bad motivator to be a Christ follower. We need a paradigm shift and a change of thinking into the goodness and the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." You and me, you and I, have divine power to destroy strongholds. And I know some of you are going, I'm not so sure about that. No, I'm just reading scripture. This is not my clever idea. This is actual fact, divine power from heaven. John 3:17 says, "God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Now that word condemn means to find guilt with. Every time you read condemnation or condemn or condemning in the Bible, it means to find guilt with. And what does he say? Not to condemn the world. Not to find guilt with. We've already found guilty. That was done, but that was all paid for on the cross. So I want to talk a little bit about healing guilt. And we're going to look at some scriptures because I think it's good to just use the Bible to sort it out for us. Healing the guilt. Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest." Are you tired of carrying guilt? Are you tired of this guilt stuff, of being motivated by guilt? God is not mad at you. He is deeply in love with you. God is not mad at you. He is deeply in love with you. Stop running from God. Run to the one who will give you rest. I am still amazed at people when they get a little bit down. "Well, I'm not going to church. I'm staying at home. I'm just going to just..." I'm like, what? That's not scripture. It says we should be together. Come and pour yourself into Jesus. Come and pour yourself into the church. Come to receive and to give, even in your difficult times. Because I promise you, there's always someone else worse off than you are. And so it's not about me. And that's what I loved, the whole team effort that we pulled off last night to actually touch the bridge, the community. Psalm 38:4, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear," says David. "I am overwhelmed and unable to cope with what I'm carrying." And we need to shift and adjust our paradigm to understand the finished work of the cross. When we are grounded by guilt, you cannot fly for God. There's always something holding you down. There's always something that's going to hold you back. The scripture says in Romans, says, "Lay aside every sin and every weight that entangles you." And I've preached on that before, and what that means is the actual fact that something is holding you down and somebody has come aboard your ship has pirated you. And remember I said once, there are no good pirates. All pirates are bad. Bad pirates, good God. And so someone has tried to come aboard your ship and has pirated you and is plundering you, and you have this guilt thing coming upon you. It's going to get better, trust me. The original intent in creation, in the Garden of Eden, if you can just allow some poetic, creative flow to go, nothing was meant to be hidden. You've heard of the word utopia. There were no secrets. Everything was innocent and childlike. Yet after the fall, that innocence was broken. The childlike became childish. Because what happened immediately, they got childish because they were now motivated by guilt. Adam, where are you? I'm hiding, Lord. And, but Adam, where are you? It's the woman you gave me. Childish. What happened to maturity and innocence and beauty and the ezer neged in the Hebrew? The equal helper that you gave me, it's her fault. Eve was the snake. And as we all know, the poor snake didn't have a leg to stand on. Yeah. I know. Genesis 2:25, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. And God is calling to us every day, not to find us where we are hiding, I hope not. He said he's calling to us because he wants to have a relationship with us. He is our Heavenly Father, and he wants to connect with us daily. And sometimes we are playing the Adam and Eve game and we are hiding because we have this unassumed guilt upon ourselves. When we carry guilt, we want to hide, but we should get rid of it. When we get rid of guilt, then we don't need to hide. When they needed to be close to God, they separated themselves from God and they hid. And you've heard me say this before, I'm going to say it again. When we get into that situation, we want to run into our cave, especially men, we want to run into our man cave and hide. But I'm telling you, instead of running to that cave, you need to run to the rock of offense, which is Jesus Christ. That's where we need to go. Healing the guilt, Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. It means we were there once before. We were under the slave, this yoke of slavery. We were bound and everything. That's what redemption is all about. When we stood on the slave block of life and the blood paid for us and Jesus paid for us and we were freed and we were bought at a price. We were bought off the slave block. We were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We were given freedom. God wants us to live free and to be healthy and holy. God loves me. God can free me. God will restore me. And you, of course. Yet, if we took an x-ray, because we're talking about a disease here, we might find tucked away in the recesses of our heart or our mind one or two things that we think God holds against us. And his promises, I will never, as in the days of Noah, it says, I will never, ever be angry with you again. And we still think God's mad at me. He's angry with me. No, he's not. He sent his son to pay the price. So what is this disease called guilt? I'm so glad you asked. Number one, when we are sick with regrets. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is, and goes on and says, it does not keep a record of wrongs that others do. Love doesn't do that. When we're living in guilt, we do that. Well, they wronged me. They offended me. Do you know that mature Christians cannot get offended? I'm just saying. So far, I've never ever heard anyone ever say, I regret serving God. I regret the forgiveness and the freedom Christ purchased for me. I regret seeking the kingdom first. I regret living a life sold out to Jesus. I wish I had gone more of the way of the world. I wish I'd compromised more. I wish I'd been disobedient to God more. I've never heard those expressions come out of people's mouths. Praise God for that. So the problem is when we are sick with regrets, we think of, I think of Paul. He says, now, when they had heard these things and they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him and etc., etc., and it goes on, and this is Stephen when they're stoning him and down to verse 58. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. Now Saul was a terrorist in our modern day parlance. In our modern day speech, Saul was a terrorist. Can you imagine? I mean, I don't know if you are aware that more Christians today are dying for their faith across the world than ever before. Christians, men, women, and children are being murdered because they will not renounce Christ. And we get offended when someone shuts the door in our face or won't talk to us about Jesus or won't let us testify or give a testimony. He hated the church. He hated its people. He wanted it. Can you imagine someone going to our prime minister and saying, I want a letter of authority from you, please, because I'm sick and tired of these Christians, and I want you to give me a letter, and I'm going to go around to all the neighbors and the cities, and I'm going to round up all these Christians, and I'm going to throw them in jail, and I'm going to murder them. That's what Saul did. I know sometimes we just read the scriptures, and we don't think a little bit further, and we go, what? And we watch the movies, and we go, oh, that's terrible. No, come on, think about it a little bit, because that's what's happening to our brothers and sisters across the world, especially in the Middle East these days. He went around breathing threats and murder against you, because we are his disciples, and me, of course. And then he has this revelation on the road to Damascus. And he pens this while in prison. There is now, therefore, now no need for guilt for those that are in Christ Jesus. No sickness of regrets. Do you think Paul should have some guilt? Do you think Paul should have been a guy who was like, oh, all those people I've murdered and all the things I've done and the terrible things I've done? Paul understood the cross and the finished work of the cross. And having walked the life that he did, and he was, oh man, I'm just so grateful. Whippings and beatings and disasters. And I know if you're on Facebook, you would have seen me moaning a little bit this week. I did 5 airports in just as many days because of flight cancellations and everything else, and trying to get home for the weekend, and having been in California at the Equip, and which was a great time, by the way. And here's Paul getting taken outside the city to die, and shipwrecked and beaten several times, and starving and hungry, and I'm moaning about a flight I didn't catch. Wow. The second thing is when we allow the disease of regret to take hold. Ecclesiastes says there's a time to cast away, a time to let go, a time to do this and a time to that. We like to hold on to our guilt like a pacifier. You know, and I think of, what's that, Bart Simpson's little sister thing? What? Maggie, thank you. I knew Andrea would know. Just stick the pacifier in her mouth. And sometimes we like that as Christians. I'm offended. Give me the pacifier. I'm feeling a little bit out. We hold it on. The fact is, everything, just so you get it, we've all failed. We all failed. Romans says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So just take it on the chin and say, I failed in myself and in my strength. Yet in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. There is no need for guilt. Guilt will tell you you're a failure, and that's why we go there. And I don't understand it, and I get it, and perhaps sometimes I get there myself. When we mess up, when we lie, Holy Spirit says, make amends. Make the call. Well, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I could do this. I'm just going to leave it for now. Let me just tell you from experience, the longer you leave it, the more difficult it comes or becomes. And then you walk down the street and you see the person you want to run, or looking like you, all of a sudden you're window shopping. And then you look in the window to see if they're, and then where they're. And they're standing right here on your left shoulder. Hi. And you're in this, carrying this guilt. When we gossip, we feel the guilt. Holy Spirit says, make it right. When we hold on to our guilt, we burden ourselves and we are unable to live in that freedom. 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a made up, sort of repaired, put together with, duct tape. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Right? Wrong. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, you must listen, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. We are new. It's not like we're a car that just got a new engine. Engine's tired. No, 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 we're a whole new car. It's not just the engine that got fixed up. We're brand new. Chuck the old thing away. We're now living in the whole new thing. And we need to understand that when we walk in that. Number three, when we refuse the cure, what kind of loving God would send people to hell? No, we send ourselves to hell, said the pastor smiling. All sin must be paid for. And we can accept it or we will pay. You don't believe me? 1 John 4:10. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He came, propitiation, to be the appeasement of God's wrath against us. And when He was that propitiation, God's wrath ceased to be against us because the sin was all paid for. I accept God's forgiveness, but I just can't forgive myself. Has anybody told you, you just got to forgive yourself? If you do that, stop. I'm going to tell you why. Because nowhere in Scripture is there the concept of forgiving yourself. When we ask for God's forgiveness based on Christ having already paid for our sins and our having trusted in Him as Savior and Lord, He has forgiven us. We got to do the Romans 12, 1 and 2. Renew our minds. Sadly, there are people who live with this guilt. I told us about the pacifier in your mouth, and you want to go around and you carry this guilt thing, and then people meaning well will say, you have to learn to forgive yourself. There's nothing to forgive yourself about or for because you have already been forgiven. I know this might be challenging some of your thinking here, but that's good. We have to learn to forgive our former sins because they have already been forgiven. We think if you came to Jesus last year that that's when your sins were forgiven. No, they were forgiven 2,000 years ago. Past, present, and future, we're forgiven when Christ died on the cross, when He shed His blood, and He rose again, gloriously seated at the right hand of the Father. Because alternatively, Jesus has to die every time one of us comes to Christ. Once and for all, it says, He was the perfect Lamb, once and for all. Not like the old Levitical every day. Come and, depending how wealthy or not you were, your dove or your goat or your sheep or whatever at the sacrifice altar. And then you're forgiven. The outer court, and then you get to the laver and come and you can... Oh, okay, it's another sermon. Ay, 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 ay. I'm looking at time. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let that be your new scripture. Because when I confess my sins, they are taken away from me. They are handed over to Christ Jesus, who died on the cross for them. We have been truly freed and forgiven. We need to change our mind and our thinking. However, we still sometimes choose to wallow in it as though we were not freed from it. I'm freed from it. No, I'm not freed from it. I'm freed from it. No, I'm not free. Who do you think's confused? You or Jesus? Likewise, with the guilty feelings, we can accept the fact that we are forgiven by Christ or in Christ. We must not. I'm just telling you, this is an imperative. Must not believe the lie of the devil that we are still guilty and should therefore feel shame and guilt. Romans 11:6. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. It's like a good idea that I made up. Oh no, God made it up. Romans 11:6. The thing is, when I have something to do with my forgiveness, when I have to forgive myself, that's works. Shall I say that again? When I have something to do with my forgiveness, when I've got to forgive myself, that's works. Ephesians 2:8. For by the grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. It's amazing how Scripture says what I want to say. I'm joking. I'm just saying what Scripture says. Let's get that right. Works says, I'll try to fix this. Grace says, I've already fixed this. And we got to learn to go from, I'm trying, I feel so guilty, I feel so condemned, I feel shame, I feel this, I feel that. And some of you have probably done bad stuff. I know I did bad stuff. But I've got to live in that forgiveness of what was past is past. I am a whole new creation in Christ Jesus. My mind is set free and delivered from all the gunk. The problem is that we need to change our way of thinking and not subscribe to the enemy's ways. We fall into the next lie, because the next lie, after I have to do it myself, then we fall into the next lie of, I owe God. We used to sing when in Sunday school or in church, I can't remember where it was. Something, I can't remember the whole song. Some of you older folk will remember it. I owe, back to my sin I dare not go, because a debt of love I owe. Or maybe not. Okay. We used to sing that with such gusto. Bad theology. You know, some songs are great philosophically, but bad theology. Because we think we're indebted to Christ. He paid such a great price that we cannot pay for it. There is no account. If we owe God for the death of His Son, if we think because He died on the cross for me that I owe Him, that's not grace. That's what we call a bargain. And this is really messing with your head, because then it means that if you serve me, then I'll go to the cross for you. That's a bargain. That's convenience. Well, it wasn't so convenient for Him. But we're a covenant people. He is a covenant-making God with us. All we can be is absolutely thankfully grateful. But if you think that you are indebted to Jesus, it will lead you into a subtle way of self-works to pay the debt that you think you owe. I'm just not worthy. I'm not good enough. This is a Christian speaking. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. The thoughts are good. Theologically, they're bad. Because we either are sinners or we're living in the new covenant and are children of the God. Because it sounds so humbling, doesn't it? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Now, you were a sinner. You were a bad person. You were dead in your trespasses. You were dead in your sins and in your iniquities. But now, I'm made alive in Jesus Christ. I'm accepted by the Father. The Son accepts me as His beloved. Holy Spirit dwells within me. Jesus said, it is better for you that I go away, that I will send another comforter. And some of you battling with this a little bit this morning. Colossians 2:14, by canceling the record of debt, listen carefully, that stood against us with its legal demands, this He set aside, nailing it to the cross. There is no debt we owe. Romans 8:37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angel nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor power, nor height now, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That has got to be so affirming, so confirming, that absolutely nothing, let's just cover it all, absolutely nothing can take us out of the love of Christ and out of His palm and out of His hand. So the question is, healing the guilt. When we get to the place when we've said enough is enough, and I pray that some of you are there right now this morning, when we are tired of being sick with regrets, when we have received the revelation of the cure, even if it's just this morning that you got it, when we accept the cure from Him, by grace, number one, it will change how we relate to people. Because we won't run around feeling this whole guilt thing. Adam and Eve, can you imagine in this garden of perfection how they related and treated one another? No animosity, no your fault, my fault. I mean, let's just get real. They were naked and were happy. They related to one another in perfection and tenderness. The fall became the accusatory, finger-pointing condemnation. Philippians 2:1. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ Jesus for us this morning, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, counting others more significant than yourself or ourself. Wow. How good are we at that? I will lay this down so that you can shine. When we have to shine at someone else's expense, that's not shining at all. Second thing, it will change how we relate to God. Because we will understand and grasp hold of the fact that He did this because He loved us so much. Do you think God was like, well, we don't know what to do, so we're just going to send Jesus to earth to die? No. There was a whole plan. And that's why I say, although we live in the new covenant of grace, we have to understand the Old Testament so we can understand the New Testament. Hebrews 12:2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand on the throne of God. Through his atoning work, the once and for all atoning work, Christ's perfection leads to the perfection of his people. So when I say in Christ Jesus you are perfect, in Christ Jesus you are righteous, in Christ Jesus you are holy, in Christ Jesus you are loved with a loving that you mostly we don't understand. I keep saying you, but I mean we, because I'm in this boat too. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. The cross represents the most punishing way of dying in the history that we know. It means that he physically suffered, was put upon the cross, and he took on everything. Can you just imagine Christ on the cross, and all your sin and my sin was placed upon him? That's why we shouldn't live with guilt. Well, I feel guilty now that Jesus took all my sin. That's what he came to do. And we don't see it say that, and I don't say that flippantly. I say that with such a deep reverence and honoring and love for him. And sometimes the best thing I can come up with to try and show gratitude without feeling indebted is go, thank you, Jesus, and let my life express that. And sometimes we say, thank you, Jesus, but my life doesn't express it. Despising the shame, crucifixion performed, hungry, thirsty, and naked in public, and inflicting prolonged pain on the victim. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, it talks about, if you do this and if you do that, you know the two mountains. If you do this and if you do that, and all you do, you'll be blessed. And then we go over to, I think, verses like 15 to like 58 or something like that. Then if you don't do this, then you're going to do this and that's going to come upon you. Can I tell you now, you can read that stuff. It's good to understand it, but it does not apply to us. It tells us that if you go and read the scriptures, that you will be cursed, because then it goes on and you said, cursed is every person who hangs upon the tree. Anyone here hang on a tree? No. Who hang on a tree for us? Jesus. He's between heaven and earth, naked, thirsty, hungry, publicly shamed for us, publicly guilted for us. When we understand that, we take hold of it. Despising the shame is now at the right hand of God. Ephesians 2:6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where's your position? Where? Yeah. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Last one. It will change the way we are used of God. David sinned much, many times, lots. I don't know how else to say it. In Psalm 18:35, you've given me the shield of your salvation, your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. Paul, the great apostle, as we said, lived with no condemnation, no need of guilt, no guilt of his former life. What? Hasn't he got a conscience? Because that's our soulful thinking. No, I'm sure he did, but when he understood the finished work of the cross, the liberty and the freedom that it brought, the religious ruts of guilt to the grooves of grace is where we stand before our Father. And we just go, thank you, Jesus. Can we all just bow our heads for a moment? And if you're here this morning and this message has meant something to you, and you go, man, I feel guilty when I do this, and I feel guilty when I do that, and I just feel that, you know, there's another word for it, it's called condemnation. And Scripture's clearly told us there isn't, therefore now, no condemnation. I'm just going to pray with you and you're going to do business with the Lord. And so, Father, we come to you this morning, Lord God, and we just stand before you. Jesus, we honor you. and we love you, Lord. Holy Spirit, refresh me this morning. Touch my life anew, Lord. Thank you for the finished work of the cross, Lord. Thank you that you hung upon that cross in hunger and in shame and thirst and hunger. That you took all my sin upon you, Lord, that I might walk in liberty and freedom, that I am the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus, I come before you and I ask you this morning, Lord, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for the thinking, the paradigm that there's a debt that I owe. Thank you for the fully accomplished work of the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you're not angry with me, that you love me, that I'm accepted into your family. Thank you, God, that you love me so much. I am blessed by you, Lord. All God's people said, Amen. Amen.